So I am going to say one other quick thing before I get started, because if I want run out of time, I want to make sure that I've said this. I'm going to tell you how I do step four and five, but I also want to give a quick pitch for listening to a fifth step. It is an equal part of step four and five, because here's the deal. I don't personally believe that I have to love me before I can love you, because it's happened the other way around for me. I didn't sponsor a lot until I was about 20 years sober. My sobriety date, by the way, is January 2nd, 1988. My sponsor is the one and only most fabulous Polly Pistol, and my home group is the Back Porch International Online Meeting. We meet every noon Eastern time, at 12 noon every day. So, making a pitch for hearing a fifth step. So I didn't really start sponsoring a lot until I was about 20 years sober, because I didn't really have a lot to offer until I was about 20 years sober. I am not a rocket to stardom around here. I'm like a slow burn. But after 20 years sober, I started sponsoring a lot, and I had the great good fortune to listen to a lot of fifth step. And here's what happens in listening to a fifth step. I love you. I love you in your darkest pain. I love you in your greatest shame. And if I can love you in that moment, then maybe, just maybe, I might be able to love me just a little bit in my darkest pain or in my greatest shame. And it's in that process, in that journey, that I have come to get comfortable in my skin. And in the spirit of the fifth step, know that between me, my God, and my sponsor, I'm okay today just exactly the way that I am, and that is nothing short of miraculous from the woman that came into these rooms 35 years ago. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what it was like. I grew up in Los Angeles. I'm the youngest of five kids. Four of us are still living. I grew up in a radically, fantastically violent alcoholic home. That is not why I'm an alcoholic, but it is part of my story. And I was about 3 years sober, and I heard this speaker. Some of you might have heard of him. His name's Clancy I. And he said, alcohol was not my problem, it was my solution. And I identified completely, because I came into this world restless, irritable, and discontent. I came into this world rocking and rolling like I am right now. I mean, I really did. My preschool report card when I was 4 years old said, "We're worried about Shannon. She hides in the choo-choo train at recess." I knew from a very early age the problem with this planet was that there were other human beings in it. And I did everything in my power to try and avoid you. And what drinking did for me was just help me be numb. Numb. I wanted quiet. My email address is ask for quiet, as it says in our third step. I just wanted quiet. As you can tell, my head, it goes fast. Right? So when I started stealing my stash at 12, and I say stealing my stash because I grew up in this alcoholic home, so I know I had had alcohol before. But I really started making sure I had mine by the time I was 12. It says in our big book that an alcoholic in their cups is an unlovely creature. Oh, what an understatement. Right? I had a boyfriend who called me disgusting. And although I was quite offended at the time, and it's hard to believe in my pretty little sundress today, I was gross, right? I have an ability to belch like a drunken sailor, and I was proud of it. There was nothing pretty about it, okay? And so I started stealing alcohol when I was about 12, and by nature of being a teenage alcoholic, I am a liar, a cheat, and a thief, because you have to lie, cheat, and steal everything that you get. But really, what was more important than that is my friend Carla, she says, you know, as a teenage alcoholic, I couldn't drink all the time, but I thought about drinking all the time. And my entire life revolved around when I was going to get that next drink. Even if it was Wednesday and I knew I wasn't getting any until Friday, it was all I thought about. And so the other piece that's really important about my drinking story, and I don't have words sufficient enough to describe my self-hatred. It coursed through my body. I knew I was a worthless piece of you-know-what. I mean, it was as factual as the sun is in the sky today. It wasn't up for debate. And I would constantly put myself in these precarious near-death experiences, hoping that I would die, and I was so angry when I woke up the next morning and I was still alive. And so I had lots of experiences. I got kicked out of the Soviet Union.